Why don't you open your Bibles? We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 in a while, but we'll be there. Pardon me. Well, I don't know what your 2.5, 3 months have been like. I think a lot of people have read a lot more books than they're used to. Maybe you've never read books before and you started reading books. I think we've probably all watched more than enough news, probably binged watch more than we'd like to admit. Some of us, the quarantine 15, but we've all had, the whatever has come of this last time, and it's been a very strange time. And I got to tell you, I can joke around about the fact that I look out, empty seats, but I miss you guys. I mean, I miss looking out here, and the funny thing, this has happened to me this whole time with these face masks. As I look at people, I might be at a store, and someone says, "Oh, hi, John." I'm like, "Take off your mask. I don't know who you are." It's already happened this morning, and so pardon me if I do that. What I wanted to do this morning, because we really don't have a lot of time, we want to be careful to move through this morning, to be able to end at the right time. We have a couple songs at the end. So please don't scoot out of here quick. But we want to finish up with those songs, and then we're going to move out, and we have to clean the sanctuary for the next group who's going to come in at 11 o'clock. But what I wanted to do was to take you through some verses that God has taken me and taken us as elders and staff through over these last weeks. I hope, but I assume, that each of you has had your own time with the Lord, that it's been a good time. Hopefully you've grown deeper in the Lord during this time. There was a lot, especially early on, and I think since then for many people, but especially early on for all of us, there was a lot of worry, fear, uncertainty about what's happening, what's happening with this virus, and what about this, maybe this is just my opinion I'm throwing out here, but, excessive government overreach. This response to things, and I don't know, everybody's got different opinions about that, but we all had those questions. Renee and I had our questions. Well, what does this mean for us as a family? What does it mean? Can we see our kids? Can we see our grandkids? And there was a while there where we didn't, and then, we just went through withdrawal, and we couldn't take it anymore, and we figured, anyhow. So we needed some hugs, and mine wasn't enough for Renee, so we needed to see the grandkids, and... but we've all had to work through our own thing with that. But the big question on top of all of that, certainly for me and for those of us I mentioned, those of us pastors, elders here, was, well, what happens to the church? What's happening to the church in this country? What's happened to to our church? We all, really, the vast, vast majority of churches in the United States responded pretty obediently to the government saying, look, let's flatten the curve, let's take the next 2 weeks, and let's not meet. And so we did that, and then we told, well, another 30 days, and then we'll review this in another 30 days. And we all started saying, what is going on here, and when are we going to be able to reopen? And for that matter, will people ever come back? God began to remind me of some verses, just in my own private time, some verses that have meant a lot to me over the years. And he led me to Genesis 15, verse 1, where God says to Abram, he says, Abram, I am your shield and your very great reward. In other words, I'm your protector and I am your provider. I'm gonna watch over you personally, but I'm going to watch over this church. God gave me that years ago, and he's always been faithful to that. He reminded me of it again. And of course, as we continue to pray, what are we doing, individually, as a family, as a church? Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, that he's our rock, that he's the one that we rely on. There's all sorts of ideas, government ideas, but government seems so strong until it begins to crumble. Society seems to be so together until it's not, and it begins to unravel. We've seen that recently. Only God is our rock. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which anyone can be saved. He says, I'm the one who will sustain you. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord right? Is the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. That's where we find our salvation in Jesus Christ. That's where we find refuge. That's where we find help, protection, provision. He never has failed us. We look around our world as it unravels, and it is unraveling. But God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. He really is. See, a lot of us have these memory verses, but he really is all that. Therefore, we will not fear, even if the earth gives way. Even if everything gives way and things fall into the sea, the mountains crash down. When the mountains of your expectations, when the seas of your health begin to roar and foam, God is our rock. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. And you know, and I read that in Psalm 46, and I think of Luke 21, where Jesus speaks of the perplexities of nations, men's hearts failing them for fear as they see the things coming upon this world. And they are. Now, we're not to that point yet, but we are right there. And I think all of us have heard enough over these last 3 weeks about what's really going on. What does this really mean? For us as Christians, do I really believe this Bible that I say I believe? Because things are perplexed. Yeah, we're not seeing the signs of the sun, the moon, and the stars, per se. I could go on. We don't have time for that one now. There are certainly some hints. Steve Feely kept me in the loop as the weeks went on about all the different earthquakes. While everybody's looking at the coronavirus, the earthquakes that are happening around the world have really picked up momentum. You know, the space between them is getting shorter, and the magnitude of them is growing greater and greater all the time. The skeptic would say, whatever, that's always been happening. Yeah, it's always been happening, but it's happening shorter and shorter distances between at greater and greater magnitudes. Birth pains, labor pains, that's what we're in. And we look at our own society. Jesus said, Matthew 24, verse 12, that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And we see it. And sadly, you know, it's always important for us to remember this. It's the word that's used there, the agape of many. It's we who have agape love. That means the agape love, even between Christians, will grow cold. And we've seen that. In the church in America, there's division. We've seen it just in different opinions about what do we do in response to this coronavirus? What do we do? Should we meet? All those things. Division. The devil has sought to bring division between everybody in society, and in many ways especially between Christians. On the firm ground of society, your friendship, your marriage, your family, when it begins to break up underneath your feet, when things begin to unravel, God's saying, you can depend on me. I remember in the second week of this thing, the Lord really impressed on me a verse that I've always loved, 1 Chronicles 12:32, that the men of Issachar understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do. If anybody should understand the times, the world does not understand the times. You and I should understand the times. You and I have the Word of God, gives us the lens to look through to understand the times we're in, and therefore to understand and to know what we should do. What should we do? Well, we should be living righteously. We should be united, and we should be light in this world, bringing the gospel to those who are in darkness, recognizing they die, they go to hell. We can't just sit smugly in our Christian club. We have to bring the truth out to those who are dying and not leave it to someone else to do, but to do it because we're called to do it. You say, I know times are bad, John, but I mean, just look at what's going on in our world right now. Yeah, look what's going on in our world right now. 2 weeks ago, we saw this horrible murder, George Floyd. Terrible. You know, I hate talking about this because it's so polarized. I'm a guy who talks about current events all the time. I hate it because it's so polarized in our society right now, because I'm a white man going to talk about this. And I won't take the party line. Because the right line is not the party line. Being correct is being biblically correct, not politically correct. And being biblically correct is to say that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Pigmentation goes a couple millimeters thick, but sin goes straight to the bone. And hatred is just a little bit less than that. That's something that comes as a result of sin that's come upon the world. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash us clean of sin. Only the power of God's Spirit can enable us to live righteously and holy in these last days. Yeah, there's a lot that's going on in our society. And those of us, and there are enough of us around here, who've lived here for a while, lived this world for a while, we remember 1968. And when I look at this last week especially, I'm having flashbacks to 1968, and it's not a pretty picture. And the only difference between now and 50 years ago is that more people were Christians back then. And so it's scary to think of what's coming upon the world. And I remember, you know, in thinking, well, what do we do, Lord? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to move forward? You know, hopefully you all know that, you know, we were in Exodus, but then we were in the middle of, you know, the tabernacle and all that stuff, and I thought, coronavirus, tabernacle, I don't know, Lord, we'll postpone that, and we'll move into Joshua for a while. But, you know, if you're familiar with Exodus, in chapter 33, after Israel has sinned with the golden calf incident and all that, the Lord and Moses are having this conversation, and the Lord is saying, now you're going to take your people, and you're going to go into the land I told you about, and Moses is saying, they're not my people, they're your people. And you have this very interesting exchange going back and forth between them. And God says to Moses, 33 verse 14, he says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said back to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. And that became our prayer. As elders especially, that became our prayer. If this is not God's presence who's leading us, then we don't want to go. If it's not God's presence who's leading us to reopen the church, we don't want to go. Because the church is divided. The church in the United States is divided right now. The church, we're not better because we're open today and someone else isn't. We made a decision. Everyone has to make their decision. Leadership groups and churches have to make their decision. We made a decision. Many people have been caught between, well, we're the church, we're supposed to submit to the governing authorities. And then Hebrews 10, that we're not to forsake the assembling together as some are in the habit of doing. And it almost seems like this tennis match that you're watching. And so that became our prayer, Lord, if you're not the one who's leading us, then we don't want to go. We want to go where you're leading us to go. We began praying that back at the end of April, early May. We selected this date. We said, okay, June 7th is when we're going to open. We'll put what I like to call a stake in the ground. We can always move the stake later, but let's put a stake in the ground and say June 7th we'll open. On May 14th, we met with our attorney on the telephone, and we got a lot of very interesting advice, and that was confirmation for us that we were moving in the right direction. A week later, President Trump said, oh, the churches should open. More confirmation for us. And it continues to be our prayer that God will continue to lead us. Yeah, the church has been divided about what to do. But God's word is clear. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's why we meet together, to stir up love and good works. Or maybe I could say, to lovingly get in each other's faces and to be that encouragement that we need to be to one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but exhorting one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I'm seeing the day approaching. I've known it for years that the day is approaching, and more I am seeing the day approaching. There's no question in my mind that the day is approaching. We've had to work through this, and people will say, and it's not that I've gotten tired of hearing it. People will say, well, you know, the church is not the building. Of course, we know that. The church is not the building. But beginning in Matthew 16, Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church. First of all, it's not ours, it's his. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. In other words, worldly thinking is not going to prevail against the church. That's what he means by that. Every context of the church, when we read it from the Gospels on out into the book of Revelation, is the assembly of the righteous, those who've been called out by God, who assemble together, who gather together to worship we're to assemble. We're to assemble. Why? Because that's where we receive God's greatest benefits. Frankly, that's where we're the healthiest. Yes, we need to spur one another on to good love, well, to love, to good works. We need to do that. By meeting together, by gathering together, by fellowshipping together, that's where Christians are the healthiest. We're not the healthiest when we're apart from one another. We're healthiest when we come together as one body, worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. And some are in the habit of not assembling. Now, I'm not talking about now, you know, because some are sick or they're afraid of, you know, what may have. That's a different issue. But we know what it's like. I know what it's been like in my life at times, you know, over the years. And probably many of you could relate. Some are not in the habit of assembling. You look around the world in some cases because of persecution. Well, that's not us. Sometimes it's just poor doctrine, apostasy. Sometimes it's laziness. But there are reasons why we're to assemble. We read Revelation 2 and 3 as we look there at the Jesus' letters to the churches. What's the picture? Jesus in the midst of the churches. The reason to be worshiping together is he's in our presence right now, by the way. He is right now in our presence. We're in his presence. We come, we meet, we gather to worship, to praise him, to study his word, to pray, because he's in our presence. We meet together because praise. God inhabits the praise of his people. You know, how many times have we heard people say that over the years? Do you realize it's true? He inhabits the praise of his people. When we spend these five songs singing, and many of us were like, oh, it's so great to be able to sing again. Don't you think Jesus feels the same way? Praise the Lord, they're back together, you know? Well, he's praising him, so you know what I mean. Analogy breaks down at some point. But it's healthy. It's healthy to sing. It's healthy to come together. These are good. This is healthy for the church. It's healthy to praise him. It's healthy to study his word. Truth. Because there's truth when we're gathered together. Paul says this, Ephesians chapter 3. He said, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. We gather together to comprehend those things. 21 years we've sought to be faithful to his calling to us, the church here. And God has used this passage that I'm going to read to you many times. Revelation chapter 3, in the midst of all those letters, the letter to the church in Philadelphia. Now, these were real churches in the first century, but they're also arranged in a way that's prophetic. And this church that's written here pictures the Bible-teaching, loving church from the mid-1800s on up till now, which is now waning in our society. Jesus says this, these things says he who is holy and true, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts what no one can open. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. For you have a little strength and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world. He's speaking of the rapture. No other letter had spoken of the rapture. This one does. I will keep you from the hour of trial that's coming upon the whole world that will test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming suddenly. Hold fast what you have so that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In the midst of a society that's unraveling, in the midst of this unrest, in the midst of the violence, in the midst of all the trouble that's happening in this world, due to this virus and the economic problems and people out of work. I mean, it goes on and on and on. He has this together. He is our rock. And as the church, while we are here, we're called to walk with him. We're called to gather together, to pray, to praise him, to love one another, to spur one another on, to love, and to good works. And how should we be in this society? What should we be like? He's shown you, old man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what we're called to do. And that's what we're going to do. So let's stand together. Let's pray.